Hi, I'm Catherine Grignier, and I'm a co-founder of Attendable, an inclusive events agency.
Could you please tell me a little more about what Attendable does?
Attendable sets out to deliver not only awesome events for our clients, but we work with our clients to make the events more accessible and inclusive to diverse audiences. So we look for helping our clients to remove the barriers that might stop certain groups from taking part in events. So whether that's somebody with a hearing impairment or a visual impairment, or looking more to diversity of representation. So people of color, women, age, that kind of thing.
When you say people of colour and people with hearing impairments, could you tell me a bit about how you overcome those barriers and how those barriers manifest themselves within the events industry?
I think firstly, with people of colour, there's a lack of representation across the piece in sort of public positions, in the broadcast media, and events are no different. And so what we do to overcome that is we actively encourage our clients to research their sector if they're putting on an event, to make sure that they're looking for a good balance of speakers and they're not just sort of creating a panel or giving a platform to the so-called pale male stale brigade, and where everybody kind of looks the same. So it's about inclusion for us starts with intent, and it's about sort of doing your research and looking for potential speakers from a variety of different backgrounds and reaching out to them and inviting them to engage with your audience.
You set this up, if I'm correct, almost immediately at the beginning of lockdown. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. So we have been working on some sort of large scale events in the diversity and inclusion space, and they were in-person events, and the pandemic struck and it impacted us as it did everybody else. Fortunately, we were able to pivot quite quickly to the virtual world. Some of the events we were working on were for the tech industry, so people there were naturally quite sort of open to utilizing technology to deliver those events. But yeah, it was pretty much straight away that we had the idea for Attendable, and that we saw that actually, whilst everybody was sort of scrambling and looking for ways to connect meaningfully with their audiences during a lockdown, that we felt really strongly and passionately that we should do that in an inclusive way, and use the tech that's available and our expertise to ensure that everybody's included. And you asked me earlier about deaf people with hearing loss. And it's things like thinking about booking in captioners or stenographers and understanding which platforms allow you to integrate those captions so that somebody with hearing loss can participate and read the subtitles as they go, or how to bring in sign language interpretation on the screen when you're broadcasting that out onto YouTube or onto your website or wherever it might have been.
Hearing about the amount that you have to do, it sounds like it would get expensive relatively quickly. Could you tell me a bit about how that problem is tackled, the cost of subtitling and sign language?
I think that's a really good question. The budget cost of accessibility, something always comes up. You won't be surprised with our clients, but there are ways that you can do it more cost effectively than others. So some of the platforms allow, for example, automated captions. So Microsoft Teams has that, and you can have automated captions in Zoom as well, and Google Meet. Not to play favorites with any of the platforms, Google Meet has also integrated subtitling, and the quality of that is getting better and better all the time. So whilst I would say that it's not 100% reliable, and deaf speakers and event goers tell us that if you rely on captions, the automated captions aren't always as good enough, or if people have strong regional accents, or you know, that kind of thing, things can get lost in translation by the software. But that's a very sort of cost-effective way to do it. Another way to do it is to pre-record the session that you're broadcasting and run the recording through some captioning software. There's loads of different ones in the market. They're freely available or certainly at a low cost. And then you just need to put a little bit of time and effort into tidying up the captions before you publish them and broadcast them, so you do it as a package ready to go. So that's some ways that you can reduce the cost. The other way, I think, is by planning it in from the start. And for organisations that are serious about being more inclusive, I think you have to set aside budget. You have to put your money where your mouth is. And it's you know, a business imperative to be more inclusive, and it's part of the cost of doing business. So we would always encourage people to think about setting aside budget for it, but we obviously understand and recognise that it, you know, the costs can get can mount up.
You have worked on large-scale in-person events before the pandemic, and now you specialise in online events. My question is, if somebody with not a whole lot of tech experience is now looking to start doing stuff online, for whatever reason that they might be, what tips could you give them?
I think for online events, it's really, you've got to think about the event differently. You can't just take the event that you would have done in person and, you know, open up your laptop and run the same thing. I think we engage differently online. So I would suggest thinking about shorter sessions. Allowing breaks. We all have experienced screen fatigue, and particularly during the lockdown days, you know, spending sort of 8 hours at your computer in sort of video calls all day, every day was pretty exhausting. So factoring in some breaks for people, and I think just generally kind of less is more. So perhaps shorter sessions and more frequent. So, you know, you could go to a weekly webinar or fortnightly or monthly, whatever your kind of schedule dictates. Whereas an in-person event you might have done once a year or twice a year. You can do things online a little more quickly and more frequently.
And you've been shortlisted at the Startup Awards. What would winning this award mean to you?
Oh, we have indeed, and we're thrilled to be shortlisted for the National Startup Awards. Winning, I think, for us would give recognition to the importance of values-based business. And, we're really passionate about making the world more accessible and inclusive for everyone. And we believe that events are obviously a great way of doing that. And all organisations want to bring people together. And so for us, winning would mean that we would reach a wider audience with our messages around diversity and inclusion in events. And it would also give us some credibility for what we're doing. And we anytime you set up a business, you know, you're sort of putting yourself out there, you're taking a risk, and winning would obviously, you know, help us feel that we did the right thing in setting up Attendable.
Brilliant. That's all I wanted to ask. Is there anything that you'd like to mention?
No, I think I would just encourage people to give it a go, to think about, your audience as broadly as possible, and to think about, you know, how am I meeting their needs? So whether it's the start of the day, are you excluding people who have caring responsibilities or are doing the school run? Have you thought about how you're going to make your content accessible to somebody who's blind or someone who's deaf? Have you got a good balance of speakers? Do you have diversity of representation? I think, you know, think about it at the start of the planning process for your event rather than at the end, and you'll get a better result for sure.